Hello, there's big news coming to the pod, but that may have to wait. Wire win by a whisker at Wakefield, but what on earth was all that about? We discuss Wire players that are now playing at other clubs and how their form is faring. Sam's riddled with stats, but will he be quoting any today? And we take a look at what is happening in Super League this week. There'll be reviews, our opinions and predictions. Oh, is Madam Boyd about to have yet another one of her rumours come true? It's all coming up in the next hour on What Would Brian Bevan Say? Hello, normal service resume this week. I'm Rob London, and I'm pleased to say Dennis is back in his southern hamlet, far, far away from the bright lights of Warrington and his Wi-Fi issues of last week. Some would think Dennis would have been put off by such mishaps, but still coming down off the roof after now believing Carl Fitzpatrick is his best friend. Good evening, Dennis.
Good evening. Good evening. Well,
are you still awake there?
I am, yes. I'm smoking my hamlet in my dimly lit cottage. Yeah, and I've dialed up into the podcast tonight. So, yeah, I'm doing all the things you said. Am I?
Very, very good. I should say to everyone, it's just gone 9 o'clock in Sydney in the morning on Saturday. It's a glorious day here. It's about 25 degrees. A bit of a weather update from you, Dennis. 10 o'clock there Friday night.
Ooh, must be about 18 degrees this evening.
Nice. Not your central, not your central heating temp.
Oh. It's a lovely, been a lovely day here. It's like summer already.
Good to hear you. Okay, now on to Sam. He was up last week writing down the Wire stats from 6 a.m. in the morning, only for Dennis and me to completely ignore him. Yes, the man who can easily drink Dennis under the table and facilitated Chairman Waywell's interviewing rise to stardom, it's Sam Sankey. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Dennis. Hope you're both well. Mm-hmm. And for the listeners' benefit, I think we should just say Rob was a donkey on the edge last week, taking 5 hours to edit Dennis's little sound clips from the match, and then about another 5 hours trying to edit the actual recording when Dennis kept dropping out. So hopefully you're going to have an easier week this week.
I think I put more hours into this than Steve Price is putting in. I want to see how many hours he's putting into it compared to me. That's what I want to know.
Would he leave a biscuit in as well? Someone chewing on a biscuit. So, Rob, what have you been up to this week?
What have I been up to? Well,
I'm just thinking about the coaching that you're doing yourself. Like, you know, you've got a parallel now yourself.
Yes, yeah. Well, I have to say, I may be up in front of the netball committee on Wednesday this week, because after 5 minutes of coaching last night, I did lose it. I completely lost it. They weren't listening to me. And I went, you can all stop pissing about.
Oh, come on. Can't start with that. You know what? I've been doing a bit of research this week because you said I'm like Fitzpatrick's best friend now. I was looking for like motivational speeches and things. And I thought of you with your coaching and things like that. And I started looking at quotes, and I came across a couple of good quotes worthy of the podcast and worthy keeping it. There was one guy called Noel Ned Kelly. He used to play for Wes in Australia about in the 60s or something like that. And his quote is in relation to how many times he got into trouble with the authorities and being sent off and things. And especially after the Wigan match, I was quite keen on this. He said, "I've been sent off so many times that when I was in the front yard doing the gardening, and when the postie goes by and blows his whistle, I just got up and had a shower." So I thought that was quite good. He got sent off 11 times for Wes.
Mm.
And then I came across a Colin Welland quote, which I know you'd probably like. In southwest Lancashire, babies don't toddle, they sidestep. Mm-hmm. And queuing women talk of nipping round the blind side. There you go.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit sexist in this day and age, isn't it, really?
Do you reckon?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of putting women in a certain pigeonhole. Mm. A few of them have been in my pigeonhole, I can tell you that.
Oh, come on. Okay.
Right, now we should start the podcast. Come on, let's crack on.
Right, we'll go straight into it. We were going to put the Wakefield game review a little bit down the order tonight, but based on the fact what happened, and we've got so much to talk about, it's all been going off on Twitter, probably all for the wrong reasons rather than the right reasons. It was yin and yang. It was all happening. So we'll run through the team first of all. We started Ratchford, Mamo, Atkins, King, Charnley, Austin, Dennis. You didn't come in with your memo.
Memo?
You want me to go again? You're a bit slow. I said Mamo and you didn't say memo. What's wrong with you tonight? I'll start again. The team was Ratchford, Mamo, Atkins, King, Charnley, Memo. Austin, Patton, Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry, Hughes, Philbin, playing at 13. Interchange bench was Ben Murdoch, Masilla, Jason Clark, Tarzi, and Dan Walker coming on as the replacement hooker too. Final score was Wakefield 32, Warrington 34. There's so much to talk about that rather than just me reading out what's happened in the game and then going through each and every point, we're going to read it out in 20 minutes and then I'm going to come to the boys and see what they thought of it and we'll work our way to the end. So first of all, fifth minute, Patton does his normal kick across field from left to right and King outjumps his opposing centre to touchdown. Ratchford adds what will turn out possibly to be the valuable extras and wire lead 6 points to nil. The ninth minute, and it's even better for Warrington. Josh Charnley dives over in the corner after a great sweeping passing move again from left to right. Ratchford does it again. He doesn't miss from the touchline. It's 12-0 to Warrington. 13th minute, the captain leads from the front with Chris Hill's terrific leg drive, and he's in under the sticks. Ratchford, no problem. 18-0. 17th minute, Mamo goes out wide, but Fowler rules obstruction for Curry running through the line. It goes upstairs to Robert Hicks. He also confirms no try. And then on the 19th minute, Ryan Hampshire walks in easily for Wakefield in a not too dissimilar fashion. Down our left side defence, it opens it up just like Castleford did. Brough converts and we're 18-6 up after 90 minutes. Okay, we'll stop there. First 20 minutes, we're cruising, aren't we? We're absolutely cruising to victory.
I've got smooth down. For that after that first 20 minutes, I thought, yeah, well, that was the perfect start to any match we've seen for a very long time, I'd say. I don't know why that translated from a statistic point of view, Sam, but if you were looking at like playing of sets of six and, you know, what we were actually doing with the ball, position-wise, field position and so on, it just seemed to be perfect. I mean, don't get me wrong, Wakefield were making a couple of mistakes by that stage.
Yeah, we were a world away from the way we started against Catalan Dragons, weren't we, on the previous away game. We looked sharp. A friend of mine texted me and said we looked like we'd been given new Duracell batteries. It was slick. It was positive. It was a whole team moving forward on the front foot and jumping on every mistake Wakefield made. And until the obstruction call, it looked like we could run up a cricket score. We were fantastic.
Okay. Well, I wrote down, and I know you got a little bit annoyed with me, Sam, because I kept repeating this on WhatsApp pretty much through the entire game. I looked at that score and thought, it's not enough. And I sent a WhatsApp message to say, we need to make the most of these penalties. Fowler's home penalty count will start at some point. I think you need, as an away team, when Fowler is refereeing, a 20-point start.
Yes, you did send that text, and I thought it was quite funny for the first five times.
Well, the first few times.
The tenth time, I just switched your alerts off, didn't I?
Well, the thing was, I mean, the irony was that, you know, you keep sending that, and eventually the joke, you know, starts to get better. And then it does wear thin. And then I got to the end of the night and I'm thinking, it's the perfect text to send.
It came back again.
I mean, it was just, it was spot on.
I knew it was going to wind Sam up. That's why I said, see you, Sam.
All right. Well, come on.
We'll talk about him at the end.
Okay. All right. Well, we might talk about the obstruction at the end as well. Then we'll keep going. There's only two more points then leading it over the next 20 minutes leading into halftime. 31st minute. Great offload by Mike Cooper. The ball's kind of gone across field a little bit. Ends up in Mike Cooper's hands and Blake Austin strolls in. He does his best to go in touch before plonking the ball down on the slide. Mm-hmm. Please stop doing that, Austin. You'll come unstuck one day. It will happen. Ratchford again slots it over and it's 24-6. And as we've just said, we're cruising. And then on the 40th minute, again, turns out to be a crucial penalty. Right on the stroke of half-time, Wire get a penalty. Ratchford slots it over. We're 26-6 up. We look home and dry. Price, you can see walking off the field. He's got a big grin on his face. He pats Mike Cooper on the back. Just more of the same in the second half, wasn't it? That was all we needed.
Yeah. I mean, just to pick something out, I mean, Cooper and his offloads, the way he was performed in the first half was absolutely brilliant. And the thing is, I really did think that at that stage, there was probably enough to take out, you know, the energy of Wakefield. And I didn't think they'd be able to do too much from there at all. But I think Cooper was a big standout for me in the first half.
And for
yeah,
Fita...
Sorry, Rob, I'd agree with that. And also, throughout the whole 40 minutes, we had an 84% completion rate, and we only missed two tackles in the entire 40 minutes. We were so much on top, it was untrue.
Wow. They started with their big forwards as well, didn't they? I mean, that didn't work for them. That first 20 minutes, they had all their big boys out there. I know they've got some big lads coming off the bench as well. But as Dennis said, you'd have thought, the steamer's going to run out in that second half. They've been under the pump so much in the first 40. You'd think that would tell in the last 20. Turned out not to be the case. Also, one thing about Cooper's offloads, they're very different to Ashton Sims' offloads.
Remember, towards
the end, Ashton Sims would offload because that was all he had at the end. He would make no yards in the tackle whatsoever. And he'd sort of try and throw the ball back as the momentum was going back towards our own post, and you'd end up with this ball that we were all scurrying around to get hold of.
Yeah.
Cooper doesn't do that. He weighs it up when the offload needs to come out. He's almost held before he throws it out, really. I mean, I'm surprised the ref doesn't shout held on a few occasions. It comes out that late.
Yeah. I mean, we've not mentioned it yet, but I agreed with the commentary team on Sky as well about how Patton was sort of, you know, on a par, I suppose, with his counterpart Austin. What do you think?
Well, who said that? Phil Clark?
No, I think it was one of the other ones. What's his name? What's the other one called?
Eddie Hemmings, possibly?
Yeah. No, it was one of the other two.
I don't think that, but he played his part in that first... He played his part in that first 40 minutes. Let's be fair. He was involved, and even tried towards the end of the half. He even tried a little kick through and go on his own, and forced a dropout, didn't he?
Yeah. Okay. Second half. So Patton goes off then at half time. We don't see Patton again for the rest of the game. Who was he substituted? Who came on in his place?
No.
Normal Patton.
At least
I'm really confused now. I'm looking at my notes thinking, did he?
I said to my dad last night, I rang him and I said, did Patton go off at half time? And for a second, he was thinking about it and thinking, I think he did. Oh, no, he was still on. He was still on the field. So, right, 42nd minute. Yet another penalty to Wyatt. Yet another penalty. Ratchford kicks in again, 28-6. And then here it comes. 56th minute. Wakefield. And their wet sail. David Fifita crashes over. Brough converts. And it's 28-12. We'll just stop there for a sec. I know we've not quite gone through the 20 minutes. I did think the Fifita try, if you watch when he goes over, we're shot there. The person who tries to tackle him is Ratchford. And Ratchford's not tackling him from behind his line of his, you know, his defensive players in front of him. He's in the line there. We're still a fair bit off our own line, and it's kind of just left for Ratchford to have a go at him. I'm not quite sure what happened there, but we're a bit pear-shaped around the play of the ball. Anyone else think that?
They got a couple of quick play the balls, didn't they? And we were going backwards. So as soon as he gets hold of the ball and runs at you, he's their equivalent of Ben Murdoch-Masilla, isn't he? In terms of 5 metres from the line, he smashes people in front of him.
All right. Well, who would you rather have? Fifita or Ben Murdoch-Masilla in your team?
Well, slightly different players.
Yeah, they are.
I'd like them both. Can I be greedy? I'd want them both.
No, you've got... This is it. There's a genie appeared. It's going to give you the option to swap if you want to. Would you swap?
See, he gets all emotional, Sam, doesn't he? He's like... He's entered his fantasy locker and he's like, you know, he can't quite decide. Oh, shall I have a fajita?
Okay.
Oh,
no,
shall I have
If Ben Murdoch-Masilla, you can guarantee me Ben Murdoch Mattel is fully fit. I'll have him.
No, we're not. But, we're not. We're not doing ifs and buts.
Okay, Fifita. I'd have Fifita.
Dennis, would you swap him? You like Fifitas. You WhatsApped me on Friday night and said you'd have Fifitas for your tea.
I did. Yeah, I have Fifitas for my tea. Fifitas for me tea. Jesus, we'd have Fifitas the other night. No, I wouldn't. I think you can't beat Big Ben. You see some of the videos and things like that, some of the hits he did.
Oh, Dennis is having a bit of a top up there. What are you on tonight, mate? Is it Timothy Taylor?
This is Timothy Taylor's Hopical Storm. I ordered it last week because my other box hasn't arrived yet, as we know. So, tucking into this tonight.
Good. Do you drink anything other than that?
It's his sponsor.
That's my, it's my personal sponsor.
I meant to ask you, Sam, when you got your hair cut last week, did you get it for free?
For feta or for free?
No, for free. Did you get your hair cut for free at the
not
hairdressers?
Yet.
Unbelievable. He had an advertisement for free on the podcast. Well, I tell you what, when I'm over there in July, I'll be going in for the lads and dads there, and I expect it for free. Otherwise, we're taking that advert out.
He wants a sat back and crack, whatever it is, don't you?
Right, 59th minute. Here it is. It's finally arrived. It's taken over, over a year. We didn't see it last year, but finally we see it this year. The marquee money. Was this the moment that paid off? Is this the kind of play that led to us getting 2 points, which we wouldn't have had 2 points had we not had the marquee signing? Just as we're on the back foot, it's a beautiful show and go from Austin. He perfectly weighs up the situation and then shoots a superb ball out to the right for Charlie, who's there. Another marvellous one-handed touchdown for Charlie to go over in the corner. Wonderful wire try. But even more importantly, Ratchford converts again. From the touchline, 34-12.
Blake Austin, Performance Car of the Week.
Launched in 1983, the Austin Montego rode off the production line with its new sleek design and a new Honda design gearbox. Sold as a performance designer's dream at 150 brake horsepower and high torque engine, it was considered to have the characteristics of a racing car. So with the efficient turbo power and quick and precise driving ability, this week's Blake Austin's Performance Car of the Week is the Austin Montego.
Steady on, Austin. You don't want to get any points on your license.
Did we think that was it? Did we think, okay, that's it? It's all over?
Yes. I did. I thought they've had the little spell. They've put us under pressure. We've come back. We've scored. Put them back in the box. Good night.
I was looking at the penalty count at that time. I thought from a statistic point of view, Thaler was bang on the money. He was at Wakefield had 11. We had 7. So I thought at that point, he's got no more penalties to give. But that was a mistake, wasn't it?
Yeah, can I just read something to you out at that point? A little thing that I sent on WhatsApp. Need to make the most of the penalties. Thaler's home penalty count will start at some point. Just about that try, you'd said in the first half, Dennis, that you believe that Depp Patton was playing to the same standard as Blake Austin. Can you tell me when Depp Patton's going to do a show and go, run 30 yards, beautifully weigh up the situation, not lose his cool, and then float a ball out whilst running at that speed with two defenders about to crash into him, not throw a forward pass and find his winger outside to score in the corner? Will that be coming before the 10th game, Dennis?
No, I think that will be in the 10th game. Who are we playing on? We've already discussed that. It's the 11th game, when it's not St. Helens. He will demonstrate a similar act of, really good piece of skill, I'm sure of it.
Well, I'm going to go back to the game at Wigan last week when Ratchford goes through the line and then he kicks the ball out to Charnley. Sam, let's just say that Austin was in Ratchford's shoes last week in that same position. Do we score under the sticks? Does he just flick a pass inside to Ben Murdoch-Missella and we score?
Yes, I think so.
That's the difference.
I'm a huge Ratchford fan. He didn't kick, though. He threw a big bomb, a big booming pass, didn't he, behind him last week. I'm a huge Ratchford fan, but I think Austin just steadies up the play for a second, plays the ball back inside to Murdoch Masella, and it was under the post. I think you're right. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair comment.
It's that composure, isn't it, that he's got?
It's just the marquee signing money. Yeah, it's just that bit of extra class.
It's only been seven games yet. You two, you're exactly the same. It's like, remember negative week? Remember the negative week? This is like the Blake Austin sort of like appreciation society now, where it's it's great.
I don't think there's anything negative there. I'm saying that Ratchford's good, Patton's all right, but you need someone with a touch of class if you're going to win the big prize. And so far, he's not done it for a full game, but so far he's shown glimpses of a touch of class.
He's done more now. He's done more in seven games than Tyrone Roberts did all season.
Okay.
And he looks. I'm not arguing against that. Like he wants it, doesn't he? I think more than anything, he looks like he wants it.
Oh, Sam's on the wine. What are we on tonight, mate? Looks like a very light white wine. What have you got there?
It's a
Vignier.
I never quite know how to pronounce that.
He's gone. Okay, all right, 64th minute. Kyle Wood scores for Wakefield. Again, Brough misses the kick. 67th minute. Good Lord, Kyle Wood is in again, under the sticks this time. Brough cannot miss. 32-22. 76th minute, it's squeaky bum time. Max Jowett scores for Trinity. Brough converts. 34-28 to the wire. And then on the 78th minute, the Wakefield comeback is complete. Joe Andrell's in, and it's up to the kick. Are we going to Warrington's first golden point? No, Brough misses it. 34-32. 2 minutes of pandemonium pursue, but we're there. Final score, Wakefield 32, Warrington 34. Okay, I missed the last 20 minutes. I didn't see any of that. I've seen the highlights of just the tries and the missed conversion. So come on, boys, fill me in. What happened?
I would say that they just, they had the energy, and they just picked the pace up a bit and just ran at us. That's what I felt like. But every time they were running at us, it felt like we could just be picked apart.
Yeah, it was almost a perfect storm of us making errors, them playing very well, and our friend the referee perhaps giving 50-50 decisions their way. I looked back on it again this evening, and on 62 minutes, Ben Murdoch-Masella was penalised when we had possession and he was playing the ball about 25 metres out. We were 34-12 up then, and 1 minute later, Wood scores with an outrageous dummy beating Austin. The next set, they get to the fifth tackle. They cock it up, the fifth tackle, and Reece Lynn is forced to kick. So that's, and then he's forced to kick again, and then Wood gets a lucky kick, 34-24. And then we put them in touch next set, but from that possession, it's a forward pass from Austin to Mimo, who drops it. And we should have closed the game out. We should have closed the game out then. And then, of course, he'd come and get those last two tries. All I can say in that last 20 minutes, it's a good job that the two lads on their left were injured, Bill Tupou and Johnston, because the replacements tore us a new one in that 20 minutes. God knows what them two would have done to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, just going back, first of all, the Ben Murdoch-Masella incident, and this is failure at his best, isn't it? Because in the first half, Ben Murdoch-Masella does a little dive. On one occasion, he's pulled down in the tackle, he tries to get up, he's pushed down again, he tries to get up. And then the third time he tries to get up, there's not a Wakefield hand on him, and he does a little dive. And Failer says to him, get up and play the ball, which is fair enough. They are really close to giving a penalty away, Wakefield, but he doesn't give the penalty. He just says, play the ball. We then have a similar situation, as you've said, Sam, in that last 20 minutes, where he does Ben Murdoch-Masella for diving. That's what he's doing, is it? As a referee? Well,
moving off the mark, I thought it was, but it could be diving, but it wasn't getting... He did him for not playing the ball, yeah.
Right. So there's the inconsistency. You can't Correct. Have the rule one way in the first half and then change the rule. And that's all we're asking for, is stick to the refereeing rules. If he believes Ben Murdoch-Masila has taken a dive in the first half, he has to give a penalty to Wakefield. He can't give him when he wants to. It's the same rule all the way through, and he didn't do that. Dennis, you for many years have called it the Thaler effect.
That's right, yeah. I've got it written down here. I'm just looking at it. You know what? The other thing I can't get my head round, right, is why all of a sudden have we got so many penalties in the game? You look at the playoffs, and I know why they're doing it. You look at the playoffs, and it's like anything goes. There's hardly any penalties. They want to, you know, grand final. They tend to sort of just let everything flow.
Yeah.
But why do they set themselves like a number? Like say, oh, I've got to do 20 penalties. I'll try and even it up as much as I can, unless I'm Ben Thaler, and I'll always like, you know, favour the home team. But
what infuriates me is if that's the grand final and there's 30 seconds to go and the scores are level, and Ben Murdoch-Masila does that, coming off his own line, 10 metres out from under the sticks. Thaler does not have the balls to give the penalty to the opposing team to kick the grand final winning goal.
Yeah.
There's so much irregularity in refereeing in Super League. And there's only a few. I've mentioned this before. There's a lot of very good refs in Super League. But if you look in correlation to other sports in the British game, if you look at soccer and just look at the level that those players are performing to now, it's the fastest paced soccer game in the world, the British game. The referees pretty much fall in line with their professionalism as the footballers. If you look at netball, which is even quicker than football, the refereeing standards of those girls and those guys that referee in the top level of British netball is superb. When you look at rugby league, you've got the performances of the players completely outclassing a certain few individuals in rugby league.
I think you're right, but I'm going to defend them slightly. I think you are right, but for many years, the referees have been it's only in the last 2 or 3, 4 years that the referees really have been on the proper full-time contracts. And they're on a pittance of money by comparison. So I don't think they're quite good enough, but in the same way as you have a Super League squad and a salary cap, you don't expect quite as much from your players who are only being played 30 grand a year to the ones that are being played marquee money. And I think they're being asked probably to do too much. This talk next year, we will probably go to two referees, and then, like in Australia, have the... Do they call him the pocket referee, the guy who follows the play the ball round? So there'll be no excuses then. They'll have one less thing to look at, so they should get more right.
Yeah.
Well, I think they should have stats on the referees. I mean, unless you can see the numbers, then there's no reason or to do anything about it. I mean, at least if you can see the numbers, you can say, right, we need to improve this. You know, giving 50 penalties a bloody match away is just ridiculous.
This comes along to Carl Fitzpatrick, doesn't it? Adding to the match day experience. I mean, we had Carl Fitzpatrick on the show last week. You had a chat with him after, Dennis. We'll move on to his email that we've had this week. He's wanting to add something to the game all the time. We're wanting to come away from Super League with positivity. And there's negativity coming away from the game because we're all discussing Ben Thaler. Because he's an incompetent referee who, not to his own, I'm not saying it's his fault, but the administrational process in the UK is wrong, that we're getting such a diversity in salaries to players in comparison to salaries to referees. And therefore, we have these discrepancies. I also want to know who Ben Thaler's accountable to. Who puts Ben Thaler to one side at the end of that game, runs through this 80 minutes and questions him on his decisions? Because we've got a try that's not given, that everyone watched it, everyone in the media has said is a try, and it's not given. But that little symbol that goes around and ends up on no try, they may as well call it the bigoted wheel, because we get no explanation as to why that try is not given. If you're watching Gridiron, every single decision is met with an articulate answer as to what has gone wrong in that play. We are all left, 3 days on, still not knowing what happened there. It's bullshit, it's incompetence, and I'll almost go as far as saying that the refereeing in the last 20 minutes of that game wasn't just incompetent, it was biased.
I wasn't happy, I was screaming at my TV, but I'm not going to say it's biased, I'm just saying it's not, it's the game's too fast for him.
Okay. And I'd like to thank Mr. Robert London for the first rant of the podcast. It's week 8 or 9, I can't quite remember, but this is a memorable situation. Thank you very much, Mr.
London. Does he get fined for that?
All right, let's finish off then. Okay, we very quickly did a Twitter vote after the game. I put it up online for 2 hours. It was a bit late. People were going to bed in the UK, but the first hour we received 64 votes. The podcast poll was, who was the most influential person on the field tonight? The options were Blake Austin, Danny Brough, or Thaler and Hicks. The final percentages were 49% thought the most influential player was Austin, or person on the pitch, 11% for Brough, but staggeringly, 40% of people believed that the most influential player on the field was Thaler and Hicks.
Well,
that's
I don't like talking about referees, and I said last week, no, we shouldn't be talking about them. But I have to say, after this week, you can't help but talk about them. I mean, the thing about it is, I've got I voted for the ref. I mean,
oh, you're one of those folks.
Well, yeah, I was annoyed. No, the thing is that if you think about the first half, if you think about the first half, as Rob has pointed out, and I don't want to keep letting him go on about his tweet, but the fact is that we got in front. There was a combination of a few penalties there that we were on. I think we must have been ahead on the penalty count, so we had, you know, got a benefit from it, and then they got a benefit from it. So if you think about it, the whole game is being like influenced by the ref, as Rob has already said.
Have I mentioned that?
Justin, perhaps summarise, just in finishing that off, he gave us 8 penalties, he gave them 13. So that keeps up his homester pattern.
Right. Well, can you let us know, Sam, the week he gives the opposing team more penalties than let's see when we get hold of that. Okay. Yeah. So, player we'd like to swap. I'm going to swap Fifita for Tarzi. I mean, Tarzi, again, I know Sam's on his back. Didn't really see anything from him again. Dennis, who are you swapping?
I've wrote this down. Let me just think about it for a minute. It was Tarzi for Fifita, same as you. When I saw that you'd sent me that through, I thought, oh, that's funny. We've got something in common there.
Were we a bit surprised that we started our 13 with Philbin? We sort of changed things around. We're not possibly considering that Levette was going to be given his opportunity.
Yeah, it was an interesting one there. I thought he chose, obviously, Walker over Harvey Levette. That seemed to be the straight choice. But yeah, I was surprised Philbin started. But he didn't let us down. He didn't let us down again. He's turning into more than just a reliable backup. He's turning into an actual frontline player now, isn't he?
The thing is that you think about this now, right? We've come to this point of the season. It's an easy fix. You see what we did in the second half. We sort of shut down and went on the defensive, and that just allowed Wakefield to run at us then. And then you're always on the back foot. So it's an easy fix. But again, we've done enough to see through a game that we probably would have lost in the past. And I'll say it again, championship winning sides always manage to just win it. We were always on the other end of that, losing 2 points here and there. Now we're starting to win them.
Man of the match. Oh, Sam, did we have your swap? Who are we swapping?
Well, I did originally put down Fifita for Tarzi. It's not because I'm on Tarzi's back. I'm just not sure what he brings us that's better than what we had before.
He's not on Tarzi's back now, based on the news we're about to give. Yeah.
But if I'm going to be a bit different, might have Kyle Wood on my bench instead of Walker.
On your bench? Is this a fantasy bench you've got?
Yeah, as my backup hooker.
Good idea.
Okay.
I didn't know you could get a backup hooker.
Man of the match. look, as much as I'd like to give it to Austin for his superb break and all the tackling he put in, or, you know, Hill and Cooper leading he's from the front, I've got to give it to him. The Sintelli in the semi-final last year, I gave my man of the match to Tyrone Roberts because he kicked all the kicks and he won us the game. Goal kicking in these games is crucial. And Ratchford's kicked 7 from 7 and he's kicked 2 from the touchline on a shitty night in Wakefield on a Thursday night. You can't beat that. Ratchford's my man of the match. Without him, we lose.
Hey, Sam, I can see a big smile on your face there. He's finally said it. Ah, it took all this time.
Come on, Dennis, man of the match.
Well, I've got Cooper. I think he was just, you know, if we would have carried on in that vein, I think we, you know, and you know what? That's the first time I'm not giving it to Darryl Clark, and because obviously he took him off. And, well, that was maybe one of the contributions to why we didn't do so well in the second half.
Do we think that did make a difference when they brought on the little lad? Did that make a big difference?
He looked like a ball in a pinball machine, didn't he? Every time he's trying to tackle one of those big guys.
I mean, I think he's the kind of guy you bring on when you're 6 points down with 5 minutes to go. You know, when you're not winning, that's when he comes on. But he's not the person to come on and park the bus, is he? You know, I can't see Mourinho bringing on him with 5 minutes to go.
He's not, but I don't think you can lay that just at him. He wasn't defending on our right-hand edge there, their left-hand attack, was he?
No, but do you think it's a poor decision? Do you think that, well, should you be putting someone on so light and so that it's not, he's,
well,
he's,
I don't know.
His attributes are not tackling, are they?
On about 60, I've forgotten the exact score, but if you come on at 60 minutes, leading 34-12, and you've got Walker and Tarzi came on around about the same time, and if you're expecting to be a Super League player and you're given a lead that far up, that far ahead with 20 minutes to go, you shouldn't be threatened, should you?
Yeah, but you do your homework. You know it's Wakefield Trinity. You know you've got the Ben Thaler home refing to come in the last 20 minutes.
No,
but you know all those things. We know those things. We've got the stats on them. Is that the right time to bring it on?
But don't forget, it's like queuing women, isn't it? I mean, you've got all them big blokes out there. And like, as I said right at the upstart of this podcast, queuing women, like nipping round the blind side. And you would expect him to be doing that around some tired forwards.
I looked at Ratchford, actually. I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, we said, or I said, brilliant backup kicker. Is he a first-line kicker? So far this season, he's kicking at 81.5%, leading the goal kickers of anyone who's kicked more than 10 goals. So, yeah, he's doing exceptionally well. We had 4 players ran for over 100 metres. So we had Charnley, Austin, Hill, Cooper went more than 100 metres. Hughes went 98 metres. We had Cooper 5 offloads. Tackle bust, Atkins 7 tackles he broke. But I'm going to be controversial. 34 tackles, no misses, on the pitch for 80 minutes. And held us together in that last 10 minutes. I'm going for Jack Hughes.
I managed to get a hopical storm while he was doing that.
I thought Jason Clark had his best game in a Wires shirt.
He was
busy. He's busy. He tackles around the legs. I mean, occasionally you need someone to go in top as well. But he really worked. I mean, I'll use the word resilient. Towards the end.
Have you noticed that in all the post-match interviews and everything else, the word resilient hasn't been used?
Well, you've put a mockers on it, Dennis. That's what's happened ever since the countdown sketch. That's what's done it. All right, well, to sum it all up.
Everyone's talking about Theresa May being resilient as well the past week.
I don't think she's... You know what? I think Theresa May needs a bit of protein. Don't you think you look at her and just think she's eating, you know, too much salad? You think there's anyone else possibly in that game that was eating too much salad?
You mean Ben Thaler? He's looking like he's lacking something.
Oh, look, it's that Attenborough bloke. I've always wanted to meet him.
It's one animal that I don't need to sneak up on. Boo!
Oh, what'd you do that for?
This extraordinary creature is half blind, half deaf, and this is just about as fast as it can move.
It's all you need to be a Super League referee, David.
That's what's going to happen to you if you live on nothing but leaves. It's a
Ben, Ben.
It's not exactly an enthusiastic leaf eater. A couple of half-hearted chews and the leaves go straight down to its stomach.
Has anyone got a burger?
Leaves, however, are not easily digested.
Ben, Ben.
Is to give them time.
You should see how much time it takes when I'm the video referee.
Then, eventually, this mobile compost heap pulls itself together and starts on a long and dangerous journey.
Not really. I only live round the ground from Wakefield.
This is a very unusual sight.
Ben, Ben.
In a hurry. It wants to defecate, and the only place it's happy doing that, oddly enough, is down on the ground. It only does it about once a week, but why does it come down to the ground to do it?
Oh, that's easy. I'm a creature of habit. I always give all the penalties to the home teams too.
And why does it nearly always choose to do so in exactly the same place? Whatever the reason, it must be very important for a
Ben, Ben.
On the ground is almost helpless.
I'll blow me whistle.
Any predator could attack it, and it doesn't have the speed to escape. Why it comes down in this way is a mystery. Nobody knows.
Are you talking about my penalty count?
Now it's finished, and back it goes up to the safety of the canopy.
Robert, are you up there? Oh, goodness me, you're high. What would Mother say?
Okay, predictions. Sam went 24-22 to Warrington. Dennis went 24-18 to Warrington. I went 18-all and Wyatt to win on the golden point. Sam was the closest.
Hooray!
I've looked at the rules yet again this week, and it says that you have to be within 19 points to gain a point. Unfortunately, Sam, you were 20 away, so it's nil and void this week. Scores remain the same.
So nothing for predicting exactly that Warrington would win by 2 points then?
Nothing at all.
Don't feel cheated though, will you, Sam?
I'm already feeling outraged.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. We're going to look at this week in Super League. We've got a few notes down here to discuss. The first one is that Kevin Brown has surprisingly announced he'll be back in July. I think this was taken out of context a little bit. I heard the interview with the BBC. He sounds rather optimistic that he's going to be back in July. I think by back in July, I think he means he's not going to need the Thorahird stairlift. Do you think we'll see him by the end of the season? And do we want him back?
Well, I had another way of looking at this. You know, I was listening to that same interview, and he sounds like, he's got a lot of experience and things like that. I think he'd be better as a personal mentor for some of the younger crowd. Also, thinking with Carl in mind, I've got some ideas here. He's got this...
Carl, I love you, Carl.
I think we've found that, we've mentioned the lean kitchen that is also what he's... business is in Wigan, and it's quite a good thing. And maybe you could actually reduce some of the queuing that we experienced at the Halliwell Jones by introducing his sort of healthy eating options as well. Maybe you could actually introduce a beer flight, including Timothy Taylor's, that would actually sort of complement it as well. So I'm looking at other roles that he could do within the club rather than actually coming back playing.
Well, Although you were taking the piss a little bit there.
No, no.
How very dare you, Sam. How very dare you.
That's ridiculous.
He is very well thought of everywhere he's been. So a mentor role isn't beyond the realms of possibility. If he comes back and if he's properly fit, the issue for me would not be his ability with his hands. The issue for me will be, does he take weeks to get up to speed? Because he's not
when
the quickest
in the world. When you say his ability
with his hands,
are you on about the kitchen bit or are you on about the rugby bit?
The rugby bit, obviously.
Oh.
But
Can I ask Sam, when was he up to speed?
Well, that's what I mean. He's not 63. Been up to speed for about 10 years, has he? But in terms of just for him as an individual, yeah, good news. Whether we see him again is another matter, but fair enough, good news.
Okay.
What do you think, Rob?
Look, as much as, I may have slightly tarnished Deck Patton's playing performances. I don't know if it's been picked up on the podcast. You have to read between the lines most of the time.
Yeah,
but
I
don't think, really, we've missed him. I don't think he's going to offer anything that Patton doesn't offer. And at least Patton's offering a kick across field. And he seems to be working on that, move to the left where he sort of stutters and throws it out. Yeah. That seems to me almost to come off the cuff.
He's got a stutter pass. Yeah. He's developed a whole new
pass. The stutter pass developed and patented by Deck Patton.
Yeah. Just to go back to it briefly, just very briefly, that pass was actually a super pass. I know it got ruled out for obstruction, but yeah, to be fair, it was an excellent pass to the winger, wasn't it?
Well, also, but does he need to delay that pass?
Probably
not. Yes, he does. It's a stutter pass. I mean, what don't you understand about that?
I think most people call it a double pump, but it doesn't quite look like a double pump.
No,
pass,
it's a stutter pass. A Patton has developed a new pass. He wants to get down to the painting office and paint his Patton. That's what he wants to do. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. We've just had a game that's finished over in the UK, which is the Castleford Saints game. I didn't actually know the score. I asked Sam and he just shook his head. It sounds like St. Helens just obliterated Castleford.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. So, did you know what? We looked similar for the first half last night, but Saints just looked so strong all the way through.
They didn't have a failure effect.
They look ruthless, Saints, tonight.
Do we know who the referee was?
No, wasn't that interest. When I saw Castleford weren't going to beat him, I sort of lost interest.
All right, well, two teams that are really finding themselves at the bottom of the table. And look, it's probably too early to write them off. They're only still about 6 points or 4 points off the top five. First of all, Wigan. Madam Boyd strikes again. You know, over a month ago, she mentioned the humble pie and we're going to eat it. It now seems, what a calamity. Sean Edwards didn't sign any contract. He's now backing out. And why wouldn't you back out looking at that squad? They're going to lose Williams to Canberra. O'Loughlin can't go on forever. Why would you want to go there to that shower of shit?
Yeah.
It's beautiful, isn't it? It's wonderful. Absolutely. It's almost a wet dream, isn't it?
Oh, steady.
Oh, hey, up. Get steady on. You know what? The thing is, as well, I was thinking about this. Is that I was looking at the fact that both Leeds and Wigan have got as their CEOs ex-players, Radlinski and Seinfeld. And are they a bit sort of like Seinfeld? And do you not think that they're a bit out of the depth? Because, you know, there's an air of professionalism that's obviously been missed out there, the way they've handled Edwards. And it's very, very naive. Sinfield is the way he's approached the Leeds. He's sort of giving this edict out about, well, if you're not performing, you find yourself out. It's not very good man management, any of this. I'd just like to ask a question. Have we definitely signed Widdop?
We have, yes.
Yeah,
we've got a signature on a piece of paper.
He did one of those potato prints. He dipped it in paint and then he put it on the. Just put it down. The widow.
That'll do.
The widow wedge, as it's known.
I don't think, to be honest, Dennis, I can't speak much for Leeds and Sinfield because I've not really
Seinfeld.
Looked that much into it. But I think Radlinski has prior to this operated very well in his short time there at Wigan, and perhaps the finger should be pointed at Lenigan rather than Radlinski.
No. Wigan. He's a CEO. He's bollocksed it up. It's his responsibility. Simple as that.
There's no professionalism there. You think back to when Blackburn won the Premiership and they brought in Dan Walker as the... Walker, wasn't it, as the owner.
You don't have to bring him into it.
One day we'll get to the bottom of Dan Walker problem he's got.
I've been told I've got to cut down on the swearing and that...
The edge now. He's on the edge. Well, look, there's a bit of a contrast between Wigan and Leeds. It seems that, you know, Leeds are at the bottom. Sam, you're saying they've got a couple of tricky games coming up. We'll talk about those in a second. But in contrast, it all seems to be going tits up at Wigan. The squad is depleted. They're bringing in players from the division below. They don't own their ground. They've got the football team in dire straits, and they're not really wanting to continue to rent it to Wigan. They get no money at all from the corporate boxes. It's just, you know, the crowds are falling off. It's brilliant. It's absolute. It couldn't happen to a bigger bunch of arseholes, could it? It's fantastic. Whereas Leeds have built this fabulous, fabulous stand. They've pumped so much money into that I think they've just edged back on their squad a little bit. They'll get things right on the park against Leeds. And good luck to them. And the quicker Wigan get out of Super League, the better.
Not going to happen. They'll change the rules.
Yeah.
It's a good job. I tell you what, it's a good job they got the 2 points back, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, so come on, Sam. Tell me who Leeds have got the next 2 weeks. Is it looking any better for them?
No. Of course, they could always put in a performance, but tomorrow they're away in Catalan.
Oh. 4 o'clock in the morning start.
Next week, they've got Castleford. Although they are at home, but they've got Castleford.
Castleford will fancy their chances.
They've got to bounce back after tonight, getting humiliated.
The following week, they are away at Hull Kingston Rovers.
Right. 2 points there.
So, and then the week after, there's a bottom of the table relegation 4-pointer. They've got Huddersfield.
Okay. Well, only one of them can go down.
Yep.
Right. The last talking point is, and I think rightly so, Ben Westwood receives a 4-match ban for his eyebrow brush. But, and we shouldn't rant too much about this. We've already gone on about one slice of lemon for too long. Joe Greenwood, Dan Sargentson and Issa all walk away scot-free. I've looked into the technical analogies of all this and gone through the rules. And what it seems to me here has happened is it's a complete load of bollocks.
Well, there is that element of it, isn't there? I was starting to think to myself, well, should we, you know, how are we going to improve this? Do we have to then have like a measure of severity of injury? Because you look at what happened. Atkins got a broken nose. Austin got knocked for six. No charges. And Escarre got a buffed forehead. Just that made it a bit shinier.
It's utter bollocks.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what goes on there. But I think we'll find out exactly what went on there because I went down to the disciplinary and you'll get an idea of what goes on there.
Well, after the game on Friday night, the bad blood game between Warrington and Wigan, I've decided or insisted that I come to the RFL disciplinary panel hearing. I can sit in the public gallery. Obviously, we've got a few players up for this hearing today. Two separate courts, so we'll join one and we'll join in the other one. Hopefully, we can get to hear in both. So we've got Issa Sargentson Greenwood from Wigan, and of, I don't know where O'Loughlin was. Good way with his 15 eye tackle shots. Put that down to Ben Thaler looking the other way. And of course, we've got Patton and Ben Westwood for Warrington, so I'll make my way into each of the courtrooms, and let's see what happens. Could you tell me where the RFL disciplinary hearings are, please?
Straight down the corridor.
Thanks. Sounds a bit uptight. Must be Ben Thaler's wife. Here we go. Right. It looks like Depp Patton has been and gone. Left his Crufts magazine there. We've got everybody coming back after recess. We've got Ben Westwood, Case here, with the incitement of the fight using the terms blood, bad blood, for the evening. The defence lawyer will cross-examine the Ingold judge. We'll see how this goes down. Just about to start.
Now, you say my client said something about blood.
The answer is blood. But I couldn't hear all that clearly, sir.
Deaf and blind.
You see, my lord, there was a bit of a scuffle going on.
Yes, at the time, exactly. Right? And the rival factions were yelling their heads off, were they not?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
But so, it's behind the sticks.
He might have said, the answer is in the blood.
Yes.
If he said the answer is blood,
no,
it could well have been an incitement to violence. Okay. But if he said the answer is in the blood,
yes,
then he was merely referring to some supposed and the remark was quite innocuous.
Indeed.
There is a clear distinction, is there not, Mr. Featherstone?
If your lordship pleases.
Oh, we'll leave it there. That looks like Ben Westwood's defence lawyer there. At least putting up a bit of a case, and hopefully Ben Westwood will only get away with about a 4-game ban. But anyway, I'll move over now, go and find out where the Wigan or the Pie Eaters are. Hopefully they're just around this corner. Could you tell me where the Wigan Warriors hearing is, please?
That'll be the Ian Lenigan suite.
Oh, right, thank you. Ian Lenigan, rings a bell. Anyway, here goes. Oh, bloody hell. You just can't imagine it could get any worse. There's no judges. It's just a bloody auctioneer. It looks like, yeah, the disciplinary panel are auctioning off the punishment and sentences to raise money for the RFL. This is outrageous! Oh, here we go. Phil Clark's over here. Let's go and see what's going on. Phil, why is this happening?
Well, it's a disappointment, but I suppose it's a reality, isn't it, that we can't have all the judges available all of the time.
So is this all about that the game's run out of money or something?
There are limited resources in which you can do it, but I don't believe he would have had the ban reduced from 2 to nothing anyway.
No, but you're not biased, are you? Anyway, Phil, I'm off. Brian Carney, oh, hello. What are you doing here? Brian Carney here. Brian, what about this? What's going on? I mean, no judges. We can players get away with no punishment. I mean, what is this?
Shambles, that, though, isn't it? Because you can't find a judge. I mean, honestly, that's not what you want.
No, it's not. It's absolutely scandalous. Ridiculous. Not having this.
This is a painting fit.
Order! Sit on the Order!
Okay, right. Madam Boyd, she hit the nail on the head with Edwards not on his way to Wigan. They've ended up with humble pie all over their faces. She broke the rumour of Leroy Burrell coming over. Luther Burrell. Sorry.
It's Leroy.
Sorry. Freudian slip.
What have you been watching?
Jesus. What else has she brought? She's got everything right. Callum Watkins has stuffed his knee. He's going to be out for the season. It just doesn't stop. Another one that's now come out is that Widdop could possibly be on his way to Warrington before the end of the year. Mate, can you get her to predict the lottery results, please, for me? I mean, that would be, it's just unbelievable what she comes out with. Let's see what she's got this week.
Now, this is you on the control tower. Do you want number 77?
The person you are calling has not answered. Drive down Chippy Glastonbury. Can I take your order, please?
I'm after Madam Boyd.
Sorry, love. Nobody here calls Boyd.
Is Tony around there?
Tony? No, he's on taxis tonight, love.
Oh, any chance you can transfer me?
We're a chip shop, son, not a bloody telephone exchange. Do you want a bag of chips?
Well, puts me in a bit of a spot. I usually get a prediction out of Tony or his friend, Madam Boyd. I don't know what I'm going to do now.
Can you come up with some kind of prediction?
Well, I'm not a mind reader, son, but if you want to buy a bag of chips with a choice of three types of gravy, I'll see what I can do.
Alright. I'll have a large bag with onion gravy, please.
One large bag, Richard, with the brown stuff. Right, so what's this prediction you want?
Well, it usually enrolls rubbing a couple of crystal balls together and the Warrington Wolves rugby team.
Well, two blocks of lard, do.
Anything else?
Okay, I'll rub them together. Oh, it's a bit slippy and oily and dripping on my thighs.
Ooh, yeah, go on.
You're not one of those perverts.
No, no. Just urging you on.
Well, it's going to be your year this year, and like my lard, there should be no slip-ups.
Ooh, that sounds great. You got anything else?
Want any cover or that?
Go on then.
Richard, stop daydreaming and get the marquee curry and a pot to go.
Oh, great, thanks. I'll be around in about 10 minutes.
If you wish to leave a record,
great.
Your
typical
call,
southerner. No salt and vinegar.
Well, I'm a big fan of lard, although I use goose fat on my roast potatoes now.
Yeah. That might be the best prediction yet, and it's not even from Madam Boyd. No, probably, just definitely, we're going to win the league.
Well, she said it. She said it. I mean, this could be it, couldn't it? Whoever said it, this could be it. This could be the pinnacle of the predictions coming from the Glastonbury area. Fantastic. Yep. Okay, we're going to take a look now. We're up to week 8. We thought we'd take a look at Warrington players that have moved on from the 2018 season, but they're still playing in Super League. Or we'll look at one player who's outside Super League, who's on his way to Warrington. Sam's done a bit of research on this. The first one we're going to start with is George King. We might get onto the issues of whether we should have swapped him with Tarzi. I'd actually written in my notes that he hadn't played.
Yeah.
So, Sam, over to you.
I only knew he played because I saw the interview with Toby King before the match. He had his kit on.
Come on, Sam, back him up. Give us some good stats on George King.
I think you're both being a bit harsh. He didn't actually play that many minutes. But 19 tackles, one missed tackle, 8 carries for 40 metres, so only made 5 metres per carry. And for me, with George King, my current hobby horse of Tarzi, it's not a problem with Tarzi. It's, is he any better than George King? He had 10 tackles to George King's 19, but he did carry the ball for the same distance, just over 40 metres, but only in five carries. So I don't see what's any better. Nothing worse, but I don't see what's any better with Tarzi compared to King. He's probably on more money.
Well, that's it. Does it come down to money? Who's on more money?
Don't know.
We just don't know.
Can we ask Carl?
All right. Well, there's the mystery of George King. Anyway, at least he played. Good on him. All right. So, to be fair, it seems a bit of a pointless exercise that we got Tarzi in for George King. We could have just kept George and Toby together, basically, if the money's similar. Okay. Another player who left Warrington at the end of last year is Tyrone Roberts. He only played about 12 minutes in the opening game for the Gold Coast against the Raiders before doing his Achilles. It's not a popped Achilles. It's just a strain. He's going to be out for a few weeks. Are we just seeing more of Roberts, but just at a different club?
Seeing him at all.
Before he came to Warrington, I'd watched 2 seasons of NRL just because of the way work had fallen. I was able to watch most of the morning matches
from your desk.
I saw quite a bit of him, and I was quite excited when he came to Warrington, because when you saw him play well, you thought, wow, he's got a little bit of something about him.
What, on his 5-minute YouTube show reel?
Yeah, but and that's it. And perhaps we're seeing why he's been to about 5 clubs already and he's still relatively young. Because he's not...
Good call, Sam. Good call.
He's almost, but not quite.
He is receding, though, isn't he? So he looks like he's been around for a while.
Mm.
It's not helping him.
No. Well, okay. What do you think about Tyrone Roberts now then? I mean, he's not played much since he's left us, but did he not play in that weird game where there was Aboriginal?
Indigenous.
Yeah. Dennis, come on, it's 2019.
Sorry, Indigenous against the Maori, wasn't it?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Don't tell me we've moved on there as well. Jesus.
He didn't do anything in that game. I didn't see it, but again, I went to Twitter.
Thank God, he got the man of the match.
Well, this is what I'm about to say. They raved about him on the NRL. But, you know, it just takes one commentator to decide that that's the theme he's going to run with for the evening. And all of a sudden, Tyrone Roberts is brilliant. I went into work the next day and said, did anyone see Tyrone? No one saw him do anything. Apparently, he missed a drop goal. You go on Twitter, they were all slating him. Say, basically, on Twitter, they were saying, how did Tyrone Roberts get man of the match? So it's just more of the same. And again,
I'm beginning to build a picture that your life is on Twitter.
Yeah. Can you not get out interviewing these people, Rob?
Yeah, I'll just pop out to the shops. Gold Coast is only about, 14-hour drive north. I'll do that now. It'd be like saying to you, can you go and interview someone on the south side of Morocco this afternoon?
Hang on. Dennis came up from Somerset last week. Yes, you can get up to Gold Coast.
Yeah. I'm not out of my drive if I drive from Glastonbury to Warrington. Oh dear. Okay, all right, let's go on to another player. Here we go. Richie Myler. He's not the answer at Leeds in terms of organising and putting players through holes. I'll go again here. Patton, Brown, would we have Richie Myler back for this season given the opportunity?
No. Definitely not.
Well, thanks for that, Dennis.
I know. Well, I'm looking at Sam's face. He's like weighing it up, thinking about it.
I'm going to say no as well, but I thought Milo, when he was here, was better than people gave him credit for. He's limited. He's not a player who's going to take the team by the scruff of the neck and lead him around the park, but as a foil for a dominant half, which Austin would be. If it was 2 or 3 years ago, yes, I'd have Myler back, because I think he'd dovetail brilliantly with Austin. Austin would make the breaks, Myler would sniff up the sniff out the half break, and he'd finish him off. but he's gone. Myler's day is gone. Myler's 2 or 3 years past it.
I'd have him back just so we could have Helen Skelton back in the stand. I know you've got a little bit of a soft spot for Helen Skelton.
That's it. We've mentioned sniffing and he's immediately gone to Helen Skelton.
I'm not going there.
All right, Joe Westerman. He's the next one we're coming on to. All the fans seem very happy with his form. I'm told he's playing the best form of his life. He's happy. He's back in Hull with his family. I won't talk too much about Joe Westerman. I think Sam's got a few stats on him. But also, do we think Lynham will be joining him at the end of the year?
Isn't that already? That's another Madden Boyd, that was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, it's correct then, isn't it?
Yeah, it said, was it Warrington's number two? Won't be here at the end of the year?
Okay, fair enough.
I don't actually... If Madden Boyd said so, it must be right. But I don't actually know, but it is widely known that Tom Lynham would quite like to go back home. Although he's not unhappy at Warrington, he would be open to a move back that side of the Pennines. So maybe he will go. As far as Joe Westerman's concerned, even on this podcast, I can't go into it, but regardless of his form, we wouldn't have him back here. He was trouble.
No.
He was. He was. He just. Yeah. He's a good player. Yeah. He's never quite. He could have been a superstar, but his attitude's not quite right. So if he's playing well now and he's happy and he's going to have a late summer of his career, good on him. But no.
So was he late for training then? Is he out late?
Yeah, all those type of things, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So, well, that answers my question then.
A lack even of with professionalism.
Okay, well, that's the complete end of the scale when it comes to Dennis and his journalistic aspects. Brilliant, Dennis. Hey, I'm still absolutely outstanding. I had so many people say what a wonderful job you did last week, Dennis.
Thank you very much.
Okay, the last player is Gareth Widdop. I watched the game, Dragons versus Souths, on Thursday night here in Sydney. Widdop gave the impression, I thought, that he just wants to get to Warrington. Maybe that's just wishful thinking, but that's the way it came across. Since then, Brad Fittler's come out in the press and said, look, Gareth needs to pack his bags and go. He's playing out of position, but it seems to me that he could well, if the Dragons don't make the playoffs, be on his way before the end of the season. Can we fit him under the salary cap? Marquee signing? He can come in, can't he?
Maybe before Kevin Brown gets back, maybe. It'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
Could you just imagine again, Kevin Brown? He's given the old fitness clear. He's running at the Halliwell. Yes, Kevin, you're back. And then all of a sudden a limo pulls up and out pops Gareth Widdop.
Could you mentor this chap here? He's just arrived.
Podcast fan of the week. Let's move on to that. Last week, it was our first female podcast fan of the week. It was young Mrs. Jones over there in Perth, Western Australia. Can she be knocked off her perch? Anyone got any contenders? Dennis?
No, I haven't. They've all written into... The thing is, all my mail is about tackle bags. They come to you for podcast fan of the week. I don't know why.
All right. Well, look, I've had a good one this week. I got an email earlier in the week from... I don't know if I've mentioned this guy. Do you remember Lee over in Dubai? Do you remember that chap? Yeah. Anyway, Lee's sister wrote to me to say that her mum is visiting her son, Lee, over in Dubai this week. And she'd like a big shout out for Sue. So, Sue, keep up the good work. I've still not had the building report from the Jumeirah Beach Hotel. And quite frankly, your son doesn't give a shit over there about it. So if you could get yourself down there, Sue, you're on the cusp of being podcast fan of the week next week. But there is only one podcast fan of the week this week. There's only one PFOTW this week because, drum roll please, yes, we received an email this week, would you believe it, from Carl Fitzpatrick. Now, a lot of what Carl has written in his email is confidential. I can't read it out. I'll read out the bits. I'm not reading it all. We've had a nice long email from Carl. Good on him. I'll start what I can read. He starts the email, hi, Rob, thank you. Now, can I point out at this stage, he doesn't say, hi, Rob, Dennis and Sam. He clearly understands where the bollocks of this operation's coming from, which I like. It's good to see.
And I'm just the big cock. Right,
he then writes, tone, passionate, blah, 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 club. Oh, club, fantastic.
Blah, blah, blah,
discussing the podcast, execute, blah, 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 blah. That's all I can read out of the first two paragraphs. He then goes on to say, however, they will support the podcast now at the Warrington Wolves, as schedule allows. He's going to arrange one of the media team to get Sam Sankey a press pass. Yes, we're on the inside, lads. We've done it. Get in. We broke into the inner circle.
We're in the inner circle now, Sam.
Which is why I've always said Deck Patton is an outstanding player. Sam will be now going to the press conferences. And then he finishes the email saying, next time Dennis is at the Halliwell Jones, he wants to do an interview with Dennis. One-on-one, man-on-man, skin-on-skin.
I don't think he quite said those last few words.
Didn't he?
He did. And then he said, have a great evening and thank you for your support. Regards, Carl Fitzpatrick, CEO. This week's podcast fan of the week is KF. Carl Fitzpatrick. Okay, after Dennis's ridiculous idea last week of offering different points in different sections behind the try line, can Dennis's tackle bags drop or stoop to any lower standard than it already is? Last week's sponsor has pulled out of the section after his sales fell. Dennis, pull yourself together. Let's hear it, kid. It's over to Dennis's tackle bags.
Oh, tackle bags.
So I hope you're with me this week, boys.
Yeah, we're listening.
Listen? Yes, good, good. So, sorry. As Rob's just said.
Dennis, I've just got to pop over now because I've got Carl Fitzpatrick's mobile number. We're just WhatsApping at the moment.
Yeah, right. Just make sure you're listening. Right. As Rob has already said last week, I discussed the in-goal bonus point system, where the goal is divided into different zones, enabling teams to score bonus points from tries scored from kicks. Excellent idea, I thought. So I put it out there and thought I'd write to the RFL if I got a good response. Well, I had a mixed response, if I'm honest. 44% said yes. An email from Tex. Great idea. It would reward the skill of accurate kicking, and the bonus prizes could be given. So, like a teddy bear for a child of their choice. So, I think he's taking it a bit too far. But, you know, he obviously sort of got on board with the idea, I think. 46% said no, Jerry. The scoring system would end up like being a game of craps. If the ball lands on the line, we wouldn't know who's what points to give, and then it would just go to the video ref. So, yeah, that's probably a fair point. And other, this is an email from Knickers Knackers Knockers. It's not fucking bingo, mate. Well, I thought that was a bit harsh. Anyway, so this week I'd like to talk about something else. So Rugby League has been leading in technology in sports, and one of the first sports to implement VAR. So this week I'd like to discuss a new technology innovation, video assisted judging, or in short, as an acronym, VADG. So I've not lost you, have I?
I'm worried that. Where this is leading.
Keep
Come on,
it.
Tell us about VADG, Dennis.
As we've seen from some games, and in recent weeks, the Wakefield game in particular, the Sky cameras have limited coverage and angles to determine if there's a try. Mimo, for instance, missing out on a try at the back of the line. That was the DOS-based pixelation of Yorkshire TV, as you put it, Rob.
Yeah,
didn't really pick up whether we actually scored a try or not.
That was a try.
Yeah, what I'm proposing is that we can use the fans' phone footage at the ground as video-assisted judging on decisions, linked into an app that the club could make accessible for people in the RFL for video refs, and therefore we could get a load of different angles looking at to see whether it's actually a try or not. How's about that, guys?
Absolutely outstanding, Dennis. That is your best one yet. Maybe we could incorporate some kind of voltage system on the referees. And if we feel they're just pulling out a line a little bit too much, and the percentage gets quite high negatively amongst the fans, they get a little bit of an electric shock.
That's an interesting one, isn't it?
But keep them on edge, wouldn't it?
It would. Yeah. So I think this is the future of where the game's going. I think clubs like and Carl would be very interested in these ideas. Night matches are covered. We can always use a flash. That could be called a vajazzle. But we could basically get this sort of implemented. If people like this idea, then I'm willing to write to the RFL.
That one line, hasn't it?
Work backwards, and so if
is that how you get to if you work backwards, do you get to the badge in the end? Dennis, could you just finish it off, mate? Just in summary, Dennis.
No, he's gone.
He's gone. The old classic back to front badge line sent him over the top. Right, well, let's move on to another section now. Young Callum, he was dispatched by Dennis to the shop last week to buy himself a microphone. So a big thank you to Callum's dad. Brilliant recording, Callum. It's over to you and Callum's Danger Man. I understood loneliness before I knew what it was.
I saw the pills on your table for your own requirements. Here we go, I'm back. Got a microphone this time so you guys won't be disappointed. Warrington face a tough and resilient Hull FC side at the KCOM next Friday. They've been up and down so far but have picked up a few wins. The danger man for this week, well, I'm picking two this week after my curse so far with Tom Johnston
and Dominic Manfredi, so I'm bending the rules a little bit. But Joe Westerman is one, with his tough meter making and try scoring ability off the back of a fast ruck. He's my danger man number one. Danger man number two has to go to Steph Ratchford's opposite number, Jamie Shaw. His performances have been in sync with the rest of his teammates, playing up to the standards he was back in 2016 and 2017. His pace is dangerous, and that fits him well and makes him danger man number two. Hope you've enjoyed my instalment this week. I'll be back for more next week.
Well, every week it seems to be the Callum curse. He gave us two this week. One's already gone. Sam, you've got a bit more news on it?
Yes. I appreciate we don't play Hull until next Friday, but this week Hull are due to play London and Joe Westerman is out of the team
with
a back and a sternum injury.
Callum curse.
He's going to need a jingle, isn't he? The Callum curse.
Yeah. So Jamie Shaw must be shitting himself.
And a first, it's got to episode 8 and Sam's used a swear word. He's got there. We said it would happen within 10.
Stats.
Right, okay. Well, we should go on to the whole game then. This is the one I always think gives us a real leveler as to where we are when we go to Hull away every year. I always think Hull can and play the same every year at home. It's never going to be easy, and it'll determine sort of where we are at our travels. Dennis, you start first. You've predicted a Warrington win every week so far. Are you going to continue with this bizarre optimism?
How many games have we won? I've only got it wrong once. So, you know, don't forget, you were negative 1 week, you guys. I've got it down as another win. I was, I actually had it a lot closer, but having seen what St. Helens did tonight to Castleford, and I think easy learning from Wakefield, it's very easy to put right. I think that we're going to win, and it's going to be Hull 16, Wire 28.
Hull 18, Warrington 18. Sam, stop shaking your head, Dennis.
Hull, as I've just said, I've got a tricky match this week away to London on their plastic pitch on Sunday. Hull are up and down. They've got beat by Cass. They've beaten Wigan. They've beaten the Giants. Beaten Leeds. They got stuffed by Wakefield last week. I think Steve Price will give our lads a rocket up the proverbial because of what happened in the last 20 minutes. I think we'll be well switched on and I think we'll win 30 points to 18.
Okay, well, that's it.
I've got a question. Sorry, before we just shut this off. There's a couple of things, a couple of points to note. Mike and Martha's only do one gravy now. They don't do three gravies. I found that out last week. The other one was I was looking at the pitch sizes and I was thinking about Wakefield. It did look wider when they were kept running at us last night. And I thought, oh, I'll have a quick look at pitches. I noticed that actually on the RFL recommend is in goal areas should be 8 metres, a minimum of 6 metres. I don't see that on any of these stadiums and so on around the Super League.
The 8 metres, you mean?
Yeah, or even the minimum of 6 metres. So I was just wondering whether we could look into that because it's been annoying me. Sorry to just end on that little
It's very
point.
Interesting. I mean, you've come out this week with this technical app. Brilliant, Dennis. Yeah, no. And now you've just come out with this insight. I mean, I'm not sure if you're not just the stat man and tackles bag all rolled into one now.
I want to take over your role in a minute because I've actually got another Colin Welland quote that I think we could close the podcast with as well.
Would you want to finish on that? And I'll just say my little bit first and then and you can come to that. Okay. All right. Well, the hoot is gone. We'll be back next week at the same time. Until then, you can contact us on Twitter at whatbevan or through the email whatbevan@gmail.com. Please don't be shy. Come forward. We'd love to hear you have your say on www.bbs. What would I put too many W's in there, haven't I?
W's.
We're going to have to change the name of the title now.
World Wide Web.
World Wide Web. Brian Bevan says, and have your say. So until then, the same time next week, it's a goodbye from me, Rob London. It's an all the best from Sam.
All the best.
And it's a be seeing you from Dennis.
Good seeing you.
You've been listening
Rugby
to
Rugby League.
Ha ha ha.
edit.
You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Rugby League provides our cultural adrenaline. It's a physical manifestation of all rules of life. Comradeship, honest endeavour, and a staunch, often ponderous allegiance to fair play. Thank you, Colin Welland.
So is Mrs. Jones Bidget. I heard you say